My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top feed you some more football here on this Featured Artist Friday. Black Sabbath, by the way. You want to get in with a song, send your request, plot support text line 410-583-1057. It's the last hour of the show. Eric DaCosta met with the media yesterday. Select media at that. Talked about various subjects relating to his team. Now less than a week from the season opener at Kansas City. And one of the big storylines of the offseason was keeping Rashad Bateman, giving him a 2-year extension, and waiting for that breakout season, right?
It's just really an opportunity, you know, for him to show what he can do consistently. I think a big part of that is him staying on the field. He has the talent to do it. He needs the opportunities. I am very bullish on Rashad. I've said that repeatedly. It was a no-brainer for us to extend him, to give him the chance to be what we all know he's going to become. He is a great kid, an awesome guy. I love having him here in the building. He's got a great opportunity, and I believe he's going to show the fans this year what he can be.
I hope so. I mean, if he can stack practices and games like he did the practice that I was there that he dominated, if he can play like that and make plays for them like he was making in practice that day, he'll be a huge help. You know, I agree 100% with Eric. I'm bullish on Bateman too. I've always liked, he's a great route runner. He's got phenomenal body control. Just stay on the field. Just stay on the field. I mean, he has a great practice. Does great. Then he makes a great catch in the end zone, falls on the ball, and then he bruises his ribs or whatever for a week. So he'll be healthy. He'll be back. He'll be ready to go. And it looked like that day at practice, it was like, it was get Rashad Bateman the ball day. And I don't know that game planning that you can do that. And maybe because, like Jonas was saying, that the secondary for Kansas City, they've got one good corner. And I'm guessing that good corner, they're going to probably be on Zay Flowers. And then Bateman will have be maybe the guy that they're going to go to early and maybe often. And because the ball comes out quick, the Ravens do have good yak people.
But with Bateman, he played 16 games last year. I think, all right, health was an issue at training camp, as you just talked about, Vinny. But I still think it goes down to whether or not Lamar trusts him enough to throw him. Give him, the target share was almost 2-1 Flowers versus Bateman in the same number of games played last year.
Well, plus, and it also looked like Lamar much would rather throw to Aguilar than Bateman. So, yeah, and it looks like there's more trust this year and more belief by Lamar in Bateman this year. And we'll see. I mean, 17 games, it's going to determine that. And we'll see in that opener, because I'd love, like, that first play. Boom, a quick hitch. He makes a guy miss, you know, and gets him like 12, 15 yards and gets off and gets going and gets into it early.
Now, speaking of options being picked up, how about a guy that was drafted in the first round the same year as Rashad Bateman? It was a Dafe Owe, so Eric DaCosta.
Well, I'm glad I did from what I've seen. You know, we were kind of betting on to come with him. He's a guy last year, you know, everybody wants to kind of evaluate a player based on just his sack production, which, you know, I get that. That's what we do as fans. But this is a guy that impacts games and played well last year. And we felt like he was going to make another jump. And we've seen it in training camp. We've seen him every day. You guys are out there. You've seen the energy that he plays with, his ability to disrupt.
I would say this. I totally, like, he's been, like, the best player on the field at training camp. He's been spectacular. But, like, you know, Eric says, you know, he disrupts. When he goes to do his contract, he's going to say, hey, you only had 5 sacks. Why do we got to pay you that? You know.
But I disrupted things.
Right. Well, finish the play.
Yeah. I'd play that clip. Remember this?
Right. Right.
But Adape Owe, in all seriousness, double-digit sacks. He has 13 for his career in 3 years. Can he sniff that in one season?
Can he pull a Matabike? Can he do that? I mean, the way he's been practicing and stuff. But then you go to, okay, who's he going against in practice? He wears out Ronnie Stanley. He wears out Rosen, you know. So Kansas City doesn't have great tackles either. So I expect him to be effective against the Chiefs. He just got to finish. He's going against Mahomes, and Mahomes not the easiest guy to get on the ground and sack, because he's, you know, so, I guess, athletic and, you know, understand. In the pocket, he's very aware.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. NFL Lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Staying with the pass rush, David Ajabo, Tavius Robinson. Ajabo going into year 3. Now, here's a guy that's battled injuries, and Tavius Robinson year 2. Impact this season could be what, Eric DaCosta?
Yeah, I think both those guys really kind of made a jump this year. I mean, David has really been snake-bitten by injuries. He's worked extremely hard. I mean, you guys know coming back from an ACL tear is challenging, and this is a guy that did that and started practicing probably in 8 months, which is pretty remarkable. He is showing me that he has got his quickness back and his twitch and his suddenness. He's playing with heavy hands. And I'm very excited about what he's going to bring to the team this year. And then Tavius is a guy that is just keeps getting better. And he plays with a passion. He's very, very physical, stout, edge setter.
And let's talk Tavius Robinson first. I totally agree. I think he's an edge setter. I just don't think he's a pass rusher. I just don't think he has the quicks. You know, he's a long striding guy, high cut guy, long strider. And not a real nifty-footed guy to be a elite pass rusher. Now, Ajabo, I agree with Eric. You know, over the last, 2 weeks, you've kind of, the last two preseason games and like a little couple practices prior to that, Ajabo looks like he took a big jump. And he's, you know, he's got his spin move that he showed. And he really showed in the Green Bay game a really nice burst and explosiveness to the quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, that would be so big because I thought, beginning of training camp, I mean, he was kind of limping around and stuff. I thought maybe he'd be like IR for 4 games or something, you know, like that. But he looks like he's ready to go. And about the heavy hands part, too. Ajabo was, I think, has played the run extremely well in the preseason games. So that would be huge, you know, if they could do that. But I think Tavius Robinson, I think, you know, Bob, on like rundown plays, Van Noy's out and Tavius Robinson's in.
And you just mentioned that Ajabo was kind of hitching his giddy up.
Yep.
Doesn't appear, no health restrictions now, right?
No, he's
Clarence.
Yeah, and he seems like he's really excited and shows some confidence.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. The schedule for week 1 of the National Football League 2024. 6 days from today, Ravens at Kansas City, 820, NBC, Peacock. It'll be on a local affiliate, too, I'm guessing.
Channel 11.
Yeah, NBC, get it? Kansas City minus 3. Friday night. How about this one? This was Peacock. Packers, Eagles, in what? Brazil?
It's in São Paulo, Bob, which there's a lot of wildfires going on down there right now, and there is a lot of crime there.
Hmm. Philly minus 3, by the way.
Bob, my wife was in São Paulo last year. She was at a conference, and she was at a restaurant across the street from the hotel. Left the having dinner at late, probably, I don't know, midnight or something. And that's what, because that's, they don't start eating until 11 o'clock at night over there. So she leaves to go up to her room. I can't remember why, but she leaves to go up to the room. And then gangbangers came or whatever. Bam, bam, bam. Killed 3 dudes at that restaurant
that
she was at.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. That's what's happening in São Paulo these days.
Well, a week from tonight, hopefully we have a football game with no incidents there. Sunday's opener throughout the league, 1 o'clock, Pittsburgh's at Atlanta. Falcons minus 3, Cardinals at Buffalo, Bills minus 8.
No, it's a 6.
Remember, I'm blind in one eye. Titans at the Bears, Chicago minus 4.5, New England's at Cincy, Bengals minus 9. Houston's at the Colts. Houston minus 3. That's an interesting first game for both teams there. Same with Jacksonville at Miami. Dolphins minus 3. Carolina at the Saints. New Orleans minus 4. Minnesota's at the Giants. Vikings minus 1. Raiders at Chargers. Chargers minus 3.5. Denver's at Seattle. 5.5 in favor of the Seahawks. Dallas at Cleveland. Cleveland minus 2.5.
Dallas at Cleveland.
Commanders at Tampa. Tampa minus 3.5. Rams at Lions Sunday night. Detroit minus 3.5. And then Monday night football, it's the Jets at the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk re-signs with a deal that was on the table, it seems, Vinny, for all along there.
He didn't want to miss those game checks. Now, the more important one than Ayuk, Bob, is Trent Williams. Trent Williams is not there. The drop-off between Trent Williams and the next left tackle for the Niners is humongous. So that's going to be a major factor in that one.
That's week one, NFL football 2024. We'll come back, talk about the American League East and beyond with the AL East report. And then Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, will preview Maryland, UConn, and look at a bigger picture scenario with the Terps. Can they take another step? 8-5 last year. Remember, they started 5-0.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, time for the American League East report here on this Featured Artist Friday. The Orioles lose in L.A. last night. Chavez Ravine, technically. 6-3 to the Dodgers. Birds drop 2 out of 3 to the first-place L.A. ball club after winning the opener. You kind of hope the Orioles could take the series. They did not. Only runs were courtesy of a Colton Cowser 3-run homer. Cade Povich got touched up a little bit. Yeah, I heard soft contact, et cetera, et cetera. But still, how many hits did he give up? 10?
Yes.
It's a lot of soft contact as his struggles at the back end of the Orioles rotation continue on. Dodgers score 4 runs in the fourth inning. Orioles only 4 hits. And how many games have we seen last couple of weeks? 3 hits here, 4 hits there. And if they don't hit a home run in one of those 3-4 hits, they ain't scoring.
Yeah.
And that was the case last night.
Just listen to Hyder's press conference.
Man, we played the opening here. Not getting a lot of runs. Not getting a lot of runs.
Right.
Not getting a lot of runs. Oh, we know. We're very aware. 1-for-7 runners in scoring position. The Orioles 3-for-20 during the series against L.A. in that area. So, offense not Baltimore's friend right now. You got a lot of guys scuffling here in the second half of the season, and they need to pick up the pace because we know the rotation has been decimated by injuries. The bullpen stinks, even though they were acceptable for the most part against L.A. But the offense, all season long, especially in the first half, they ranked among the top, if not at the top, of a lot of categories. Not so much anymore. And last year, one of the keys to the Orioles' success, they were the best team in baseball with runners in scoring position. This year, 17th, 18th in the league. So that's what it is. Orioles, 77-58, 38-28 on the road in Colorado. Albert Suarez, who's been outstanding for them, 6-4, 318. Rockies, 50-85 on the year. They are more respectable at home, 31-35. And I believe they're actually above 500 since July 1st. Austin Gomber is on the hill, left-hander. He's 4-9 with a 470. And he's given up almost 30 home runs here in 2024. 840 first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts with Tim Barbalace, Ryan Ripken coming up at 6 o'clock. Getting you ready for game one of that one. So you got Colorado. You have the White Sox. We'll take 4-2. 5-1 would be great.
Yeah.
Dare I say a sweep? And when's the last time the Orioles have won 3 in a row?
Can't remember.
Who was president?
Before the All-Star break.
Who was the president the last time the Orioles have done that? Well, let's get around the division. Only one other game featuring the American League East, and it was Toronto taking on the Red Sox. And a guy that's been on fire for a good couple of months continues to be that way.
And he missed over the heart of the plate. Guerrero hits it to deep center, and it's off the wall. Servin is in to score, and Vladdy's into second with an RBI double.
Sportsnet on the call. Vladdy. Vlad Jr. 2-for-4 with a ribby. As the Blue Jays shut out the Red Sox 2-zip at Fenway Park, they split the 4-game series. And look, as the Orioles are scuffling, anytime Boston or Seattle loses is going to be good. Because you think the wild card set with the Orioles right now and the Royals and the Twins will get to the standings. Boston and Seattle still kind of sniffing around. And the Tigers have been on fire as of late, too. Now, in the division tonight, Boston is at Detroit. This is a big game for both teams. Trying to get to the wild card. 6:40, first pitch. Other wild card interest, San Diego at Tampa, 6:50. St. Louis in the National League at the Yankees. Rematch of the 1964 World Series. 7:05 first pitch. And Toronto's at the Twinkies. 8:10 there. And as we just said, Colorado hosting the Orioles at 8:40. Standings in the American League East. New York game and a half on the Orioles. Boston's 9 back. And then see you later for the rest of you in regards to winning the division. Central. Cleveland's game and a half up on Kansas City, but just tuning in. Ursig and Pasquantino got hurt on the same play in Houston. Ursig, the kid they got from Oakland at the trade deadline, tried to barehand a ball. Then in a desperation attempt to get the runner at first, Pasquantino on the tag broke his thumb. He's out for the rest of the regular season. Vinny Pasquantino, aside from having a cool name, got 97 ribbies and 18 homers. So there's that bat to compliment Bobby Witt Jr. So they lose a key piece there. They're a game and a half out. The Twins have lost four in a row. They are three and a half back. Houston's four up on Seattle in the West. In the National League, we talked about this with buy or sell. Philly got a big win, so they're six up. The Braves would have held on to that 4-0 lead. They'd be four back, but they're not. They're six out. Brujas nine and a half up on the Cubbies. And then you got L.A., four up on Arizona, five up on the Padres. Wild card standings as we sit here on August the 30th, Labor Day weekend. Orioles, Royals, and Twins.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Baltimore would host Kansas City. Ooh. Best out of three. And then Minnesota would go to Houston. Boston's three and a half. Seattle's four and a half. Detroit is five. Maybe Tampa's six. I mean, somebody gets hot there. We'll see how it goes there. And National League, Arizona, San Diego, and the Braves are your wild cards with the Mets three, Cubbies five, Cardinals six, Giants six and a half. So there you go. Still some teams in play for postseason fun in 2024, but we're more concerned with the hometown nine, and that is the Orioles, who need to get these bats awakened. There is hope that Zach Eflin could be activated from the IL in time to pitch on Sunday in the finale against the Rockies. And then the White Sox come to town next week, which means we'll be back at Pickles Pub getting you ready for the home stretch of the season here in 2024. We'll come back, talk college football. Maryland-style Terps kick off the season tomorrow against UConn. Noon kickoff. Terps are big favorites. Dave LaMonaco tells us about the team because, hey, Michael Oxley, talk about keeping it close to the vest. I mean, you needed to fly like a drone over top of practice to get a look at Maryland football heading into the season. But Dave LaMonaco will talk about the Turtles. And then we got a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2. It's featured on Friday at Sabbath, man. Let's rock. From TerrapinTimes.com, let's welcome back to the show Dave LaMonaco. Dave, what's happening? Happy Featured Artist Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you guys. How you doing?
Doing all right, Dave. Appreciate your time. Let's start with quarterback for the University of Maryland. I mean, we won't tell anybody if you tell us, but who do you expect to get the nod under center tomorrow against the Huskies? And we know MJ Moore is coming over from NC State. I'm assuming not to ride the Pines. Billy Edwards has been in the system for a couple of years, same Cam Edge, and they both played well against Auburn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who's starting tomorrow? Are we going to see quarterback by committee? Straighten it out for us, Dave, if you could.
I don't think they're going to do the committee thing unless the first guy really struggles. It looks like it's going to be Billy Edwards. Morris, we thought was going to be the starter. He was brought in to be the starter. From what we've been able to tell and glean, obviously we haven't been able to see a ton of practice. They haven't had stuff open. From what we've been able to glean is that he does not have command of the offense yet. So it looks like they're going to go with the incumbent, Billy Edwards, with that and, you know, use his ability to break things down with his legs and, make plays on the run and things like that. He just has better command of the offense right now. Whether he stays the starter all year, we'll see. They said they're not going to do a committee. He's the guy. He's not looking over his shoulder, but it looks like it's going to be Edwards over Morris in week one.
Now, here, Dave, when we talk about the Ravens, you know, here in Baltimore, we talk about the offensive line and concerns there. I guess the same applies to Mike Loxley down at College Park. I know there was a catastrophic injury early in the process on the O-line. So how's that five looking ahead of Jim Mora Jr.'s Huskies here?
Yeah, again, like you said, you can only tell so much just because the Ravens reporters have more access to them than we do. we have to go by what we hear and just from, you know, what we're told. It's really not looking great, to be quite honest. There's a lot of what Loxley says, Coach Michael Loxley, he's always going to say, keep a positive mindset. You talk about the three OL coaches. They have three coaches in there trying to get these guys ready. But the fact of the matter is they got four new starters, and the fifth guy played half the games and wasn't very good. So it's like you're trying to get all these guys to come together. A couple of Division II guys that are moving up. You got a JUCO backup as your top backup, and then you got freshmen in the two deep. He's like, hey, the freshmen are coming along great, but the fact of the matter is, when you have freshmen in the two deep and you're in the Big Ten, that's usually not a great sign. So that really could undermine everything if the offensive line doesn't come together. So it's not looking great immediately, and you hope that through some of these first couple games, Michigan State might be a little bit tougher, but maybe like UConn and some of these other Villanova, that these guys can sort of gel and then they can perform better later in the season.
Dave, speaking of UConn, how good is UConn? I mean, because I know Jim Mora Jr. personally. I know he's a good football coach. How good's his team?
They're better than they were when Randy Edsall was there, I'll tell you that.
Edsall always catching some shrapnel around these parts.
they should be better than last year's 3-win team. They just didn't have an offense last year at all. They're bringing in a quarterback from Wisconsin. Originally went to Oklahoma, Nick Evers. He's unproven, but he's got to be better than what they had in the past. So their offense should be a little bit better. They got some skill players that are intriguing, and their defense isn't too bad. Their defensive line's actually pretty solid. So Maryland should win this game by two, maybe three touchdowns, but it's not going to be like some of the scores you saw yesterday or last week where it was like 65-0 or things like that. So Maryland should get the job done, but UConn's not terrible.
Dave, how many people are going to be in the stands tomorrow, you think? I mean, because I've heard Locks talk, you got recruits come in and there's nobody in the stands. I mean, that's a bad look when a kid's visiting Penn State and there's 100,000 when they walk in and pregame.
They are running two specials to try to get fans in there. I think it's like a bring your kid for free day or something like that. And then I think you get like a free T-shirt. It's Labor Day weekend. We're looking at maybe 20,000 to 30,000. Not great, and the weather is not. It might rain, right now it's looking about 20,000 to 30,000. So take it for what it is right now.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Terps tomorrow against UConn. You can hear the game on The Fan. Let's talk about some of the good, though. Some of the players, skill position. Hemby's a stud. Got some definite possible standouts there. Preston Howard trying to be yet another Maryland tight end that takes it to another level and hopefully doesn't take it to another school, if you know what I'm talking about there, Dave. But talk about some of the skill position players that Maryland fans are maybe just getting into the Terps should keep an eye on this season.
Yeah. So Maryland's always done a good job developing skill players. That's one thing they do very well. They're all over the NFL right now. Preston Howard, the tight end out of McDonough up in Owings Mills. He's one that's on breakout watch. He's about a 6'4", 240-pound receiving tight end. He's due for a breakout this year. They got two receivers who are back, and Caden Prather and Ty Felton, who are their top two receivers. Both caught over 50 passes last year. There are some issues with drops and things like that, but they're pretty decent receivers for college. And then obviously running back, they've got three guys that can really get the job done, and four if you look at the freshman class, but three that are going to be mainly playing. And Roman Hemby, who everybody or a lot of folks know, he's sort of going to be he's an all conference guy. And then Colby McDonald is a veteran who comes in, and he's a sort of a change of pace back, a very solid runner. He's been very solid over his 3 years at Maryland. And then a freshman who was hurt all of last year, so this is going to be his first real snaps, is Nolan Ray. He's a guy they're really excited about. He flashed in spring ball, and he flashed again in fall camp. And it wouldn't surprise if he actually stole a lot of carries from Hemby, because he's supposedly the real deal. And we did like what we saw out of him in the spring and then the bits we saw during the fall camp.
Dave, how's the kicking game going to be?
So they got a new kicker this year in Gavin Marshall. He transferred over from Oklahoma, I believe. Didn't get much run. I think he had like two extra point attempts and handled kickoffs. But they weren't completely pleased with Jack Hose, who was sort of thrust into the fire. He was a walk-on. Don't really want to put too much blame on him because he wasn't even supposed to be the kicker last year. They had a high school kid that was supposed to come in and take the job, and then it just didn't work out academically, and he never even made it to school. So they are trying to upgrade from Jack Hose, and they're going with this guy, Gavin Marshall from Oklahoma, who was a pretty touted kicker coming out of high school but really hasn't done anything yet. So we'll see how that's going to translate.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, last thing for you. Terps last year, 8-5. Remember, they started 5-0 and then, you know, had to get it to going down the stretch to get that respectable record and blew out Auburn in the bowl game. What are we looking at here? I mean, you got UConn, Michigan State, then you're at Virginia, Villanova, at Indiana, so you could think 5-0, duplicating last year. I'm not as optimistic. Of course, I'm wearing my Under Armour Terp shirt. You know, so is Vinny. I actually pay for mine, though. I mean, how do you think this season unfolds, and do they level down or level up here in 2024?
It's always tough to say, because it always seems like Maryland, they'll maybe beat one team that maybe was a bubble. I mean, they haven't beaten any of the top teams in a while, but they usually end up winning a game that was maybe a flip game, but then they end up losing a couple that they really should win. We're looking at maybe 6-7. I'm thinking six wins in the regular season. Maybe they win a bowl game and get to 7. It's just the state of the offensive line can really undermine things. Like I said, then not having a Tagovailoa, their quarterback, and then you're going with Billy Edwards, and if they fall behind in games, it's going to be hard for them to come back, because Edwards really isn't a passer. So either MJ Morris is going to have to develop, or Maryland's going to have to hope that they jump out to early leads, because Edwards isn't a guy that can really bring you back. He can lead long drives, and if the defense can't stop him on the ground. So you're looking at maybe 6-7 wins. I'm thinking that they could they can probably pull off there. Luckily, they don't have to play Ohio State or Michigan this year, so that's a break. So I think that they can probably carve out that half dozen wins and get to a bowl game. But I'm not expecting them to, compete for a Big Ten championship like Loxley and some of the guys have been talking about.
Boy, that would be a stunning turn of events if took place. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thanks so much, guys.
There's Dave LaMonaco, everyone. You look at this Maryland schedule. Yeah, no Michigan, no Ohio State, et cetera, et cetera. But for their last six games against ranked teams.
Hey.
So if they get off to a slow start, that slow start might turn into a catastrophic season for old Mike Loxley. Hey, I'm saying 5. But then again, good news, ladies and gentlemen. I'm always wrong.
Quick draws, fun house. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here from Jay says the O's have become really hard to watch. Can be easily pitched to. All those big swings and misses. It's all about consistent contact, and they're never willing to cut down on their swings.
I've always preached patience. It's a long season. Well, the season's getting shorter now. And, I watch the games like everybody else, and it's almost like you can tell, like, from the first inning or two, it's like, it's going to be one of them days. I mean, Moo Man's up there, and he had the foul tip, and he just, he got called out on strikes, if I'm not mistaken, and he looked back, and then Adley Meek, a weak grounder to second, and then Gunner had the foul tip strikeout. It's like, God, it's going to be one of these. And far too often, it's turned out to be one of those.
Well, their games, Bob, are over quickly nowadays.
Well, that's good, especially when they start at 10. Oh, yeah. I'm glad that nonsense is over. And 8:40, hey, it's weekend. Let's party. But if they don't homer, they don't score. And they're not bashing away with the home runs the way they were in the first 4 months of the season.
Another texter here says the Orioles have nothing positive coming from their coaching staff to change the batter's approach, the home run or no run approach. And their last three times out against pitchers with an ERA, an inflated one over 6, they end up making them look like Cy Young candidates.
I saw it again last night. Apparently the kid Miller pitched last night dealing with bad knee. So he's not even at his top of his game. He was throwing hard. Yeah, for sure. But, it's a game of adjustments, and teams have obviously adjusted to the Orioles and their approach. And it's up to, Borschulte and Fuller and whoever else. It's like Maryland's got 3 offensive line coaches. the Orioles have all these hitting coaches. Figure it out. But then, obviously, it's incumbent on the player himself to adjust to the adjustments.
This texter here says this Orioles team won't be able to string together a significant win streak. Not because of their lineup, but because of their rotation. If Cade Povich and Cole Irvin are throwing every fifth day, it's just not a winning recipe.
I don't disagree, especially Povich.
Yeah.
He had that good start a couple of weeks back. I mean, Irvin gets him into the fifth or the sixth, whatever it is, but it's certainly not what you had hoped for. It's not what Grayson Rodriguez, Zach Eflin, Bradish, etc. would bring to the equation. And even if there is a close game, are you confident that the bullpen is going to continue to keep it such? You know, can we ask for like some 10 to 2, 9 to 4 blowouts?
Yeah.
You know, Holiday, we're in Colorado.
Hey, Norm, did you think the Hyder hook was not, he didn't
bring it? Nowhere to be found.
Yeah, where was the Bowman?
Hook? Yeah.
Yeah.
40 pitches
right.
to get 4 outs?
Yeah.
Even, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Even Bowman was kind of looking like,
Bowman's like,
are you coming or what?
Right. Where are you at, Hyder?
I think he was asleep. We were all asleep watching. He was asleep in the dugout. Howard in Baltimore says, Orioles defense plays like the Bad News Bears, can't even get a runner out in a rundown situation. These are supposed to be major league players. I'm tired of excuses.
Yeah, as I said before, the Bad News Bears got better. the Orioles are turning into the original early in the movie Bad News Bears, and that's not the first time. We've seen them have all sorts of problems with the rundowns.
Yeah, and I can't believe, Bob, they did it twice in that game last night, and I can't believe teams do that with two outs just to try to get that run and give up the at-bats, you know?
Yeah, if the run gets home, it's all that matters, and we saw it.
One last one on the Ravens. Pete in Pikesville says, show me a $260 million quarterback, and I see a team with a lot of holes. Look at what the Browns just did, restructuring Deshaun Watson's contract to create cap space. DaCosta has come out and basically said that the Ravens don't have the flexibility to make trades or add players right now because they're already over the cap. They have to make adjustments to get under it. It takes more than one player to make a winning team.
Yeah, I've said that for years, you know. Show me a quarterback that making 100 at that time was 100 million.
Yeah.
You know, I'll show you a team with no depth, and that's the issue. You know, that's the way it is.
Well, in reference to the Deshaun Watson factor, they did create room this year.
Yeah, but 72 million next year.
Exactly. The next 2 years.
72 million cap number.
72.9.
And just think if he sucks.
Well, that's been the track record. That's what he has been.
They did release Tyler Huntley yesterday, Cleveland, to clean up that quarterback room.
Just that'll save some space.
There you go.
Oh, they got rid of the only Pro Bowler they've had.
That's right. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's it for us. Inside Access coming up next, followed by Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, and Ryan Ripken. Nolan, enjoy your week off. Vinny, I'll see you Tuesday. Have
you
a great weekend.
You too.
For Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you when we see you. Class dismissed.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.